Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Let's talk about the Mandela effect. Have you heard of it? I've heard of what it means, but I'd never heard of the concept, and I'm absolutely fascinated to hear more about it. Dr. Seth Cooper, clinical psychologist, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Good morning, Howard. I want to just point out a well-known cognitive researcher,
yes,
Elizabeth Lofton,
mm-hmm,
coined the phrase false memory a while ago in the 90s, actually, dealing with repressed memories that emerge in therapy when persons who had presented with issues like, early childhood trauma, incest, that kind of thing. And so here we have somebody called Fiona Broom.
Mm-hmm.
She's a paranormal influencer. She believes in parallel universes and so on, who put out on her blog that she believes Mandela died in the 1980s. And as a result of that, a lot of people, some few hundred people in different places, also believed that when they were young, that Mandela died in prison. And they were shocked to realize that he was very much alive. He had emerged as our founding democratic president. So it tells us that memory is very pliant. It is highly suggestible. And false memories, where certain people or groups of individuals believe something and others feel that they also believe the same thing. And these may be harmless, but can also lend themselves to supporting conspiracy theories. And we well know during the COVID pandemic, there's all sorts of views, instant experts out there, traipsing the fine barrier of some fact and giving opinion or their beliefs. For instance, I know certain people who didn't want to take the vaccine. And eventually when I asked them, and these are people I know, and asked them, are you afraid of the needle? And they said, yes, I'm terrified of taking a needle. So they found reasons to substantiate their beliefs, you see.
Right.
So this is the kind of thing that you have. And, I mean, priests, rabbis, and so on often say to their congregations, this is the word. Now, you'll have interpreters of that going awry in all sorts of directions. And if there are sufficient numbers of people out there who want to believe that kind of thing, they will find some solace and comfort in that position. So, is it a
cognitive? What confuses me is some years ago I had a violent robbery in my car, and I immediately afterwards, when I was being debriefed, I had changed, instead of saying that, for example, that the large gun, the shotgun, whatever that was at my head, I said, no, it was on the passenger side, a little bit further away from me. And I would have testified to that it wasn't right at my head, it was a little bit further away. But then when I looked at my CCTV footage, it was very clear that I had changed that incident. A psychologist then explained to me when I did some post-traumatic stress counseling that in fact it was a way of protecting myself.
Yes.
But I would have sworn, I would have absolutely stood up in court and sworn to those facts that I remembered until I saw it and I disproved myself on my footage. Now, that was a very real memory. That was a false memory for me.
Yes.
Is this a similar type of thing?
It is, but recall this. the event you experienced was unnatural. It was beyond the pale of what you should be experiencing.
Right.
Although in our country,
unfortunately, it's too common. Mm.
Right. So what you tend to do, what each of us tends to do, is protect ourselves from the horror of that memory in order not to relive it and relive the trauma of that particular serious episode. So take it further. Eyewitness testimony in ordinary cases is notorious for its unreliability. However, when you personally involve, the human organism tends to protect yourself because you don't want to deal with it with a particularly sad or a grievous or an injurious memory. So you put that away. It's repression, if you like, but it is easily accessible to factual intervention. Like you saw the CCTV, your therapist said and went through the issues with you.
Correct.
And you then recalled the positive.
Right.
However, if your therapist were to make suggestions to you about certain things, that can become embedded in your reality. It can become embedded as part of your memory. And that's what Elizabeth Loftus, a cognitive psychologist, very well known in her field, and Beth is still around in the west coast of the U.S., discovered when she said the real trauma can be accessed. But if, there were a whole group of therapists out there, this became a fad to take so-called repressed memory and say, you were abused as a child.
Yes,
so
I was going to ask you that. Mm.
And you see, the shameful thing is that those were really abused, then get looked at with skepticism. So we don't need that in our lives, where reality is harsh as it is, and you don't want persons making suggestions, particularly to vulnerable, traumatized persons or needy persons out there.
It's very, very interesting. Is there a way to protect ourselves from this?
Yes, and that is, you see, all of us have our individualism. Freudian psychologists also go further and talk of superego. That means those aspects in your socialization that become you, your ethical, your principle, your belief system that strengthens you. Now, if you have a rupture of that, and that can easily happen in the chaotic and grossly uncertain situation we live in, we need to find persons we can rely on to give us reality check. It can be a good friend. It can be a professional. It can be a rabbi, a priest, somebody with good standing who looks out for you. And that's our best bet to ensure that all the guff that whips around on the internet does not further add to our trauma and insecurity, being bombarded as we are with all sorts of information, overkill, and false things that get put out deliberately. We in a specific time also, Howard, when the politics is heating up for all sorts of narrow, personal, corrupt ends, we need to protect ourselves against that and find out what is the reality. Is this person who is putting herself out as this paragon of virtue? Where was she all these years when we were being buffeted around so on? So that kind of reality check, I think, is utterly important.
Absolutely.
For us. So we need to go to the experts, if you like.
Absolutely, and that's where we leave it. Dr. Seth Cooper, clinical psychologist, talking to us about the Mandela effect. I thought that was fascinating. I hope you did too. It's 8:30. Good morning.